Okay. And let's see. By this time, it's around 9 o'clock when you get to the Knoxville Public Library, which is kind of late for a library. But they're still up. We'll say they're still up until 10.
All right. Just gonna go back to the periodical desk that she normally works at.
Okay. She looks up at you and smiles, and then she looks at the people who come in with you. Or does everyone else come into the library?
Yeah.
Okay.
So got a whole crew of people with me then.
I'm gonna need a coat.
Oh God.
All right. So you all come in.
There's a small orangutan sitting by
that. Oliver, roll your wits. Intelligence plus composure.
It's 4 dice. Oh fuck me.
No, thank you.
Okay, 1 success. Okay, I thought I messed up a roll.
Okay. She seems familiar for a second. The librarian that Drake has come to meet. And then you see the nameplate next to her that identifies this librarian as...
Don't you dare.
Kelly Walker.
Nice.
So it's Walker in this universe.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfucker.
Now refresh my memory. What was Kelly to you? Was she the ex-girlfriend or was she the dead woman whose life...
The dead woman.
Okay.
Oh, Kelly, great.
Who he Kelly, died trying to save.
Yeah, Kelly Chambers. Or no.
Not that.
I have it here on scrolling down the sheet. Kelly Logan.
Well, here she's Kelly Walker. Apparently she never got married.
Well, she hadn't died either and been buried in a shell of grave.
I just kind of start to chuckle. It's like, I'll immediately turn to Olivia and be like, do you not recognize the girl?
She looks like a newscaster from... Oh, shit. You and I are having a whole bunch of revelations today, aren't we?
Yeah, because you also know her from the alternate universe where she was married to Oliver.
Oh, she was, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Forgot about that one.
Can we go anywhere without you people? Knowing someone.
Look at us running into both of our alternate universe exes. Fun.
It wasn't. Well, she wasn't an
ex. Well, she was your wife. Well, not yours, but yours.
She died.
You died. Yeah.
Are you talking about this shit out loud in front of her?
No. He whispered to me.
I think they are.
At this point, yes. It has to be.
Yeah. I'm holding my temples.
And like, it probably started off as like a whisper thing, and now it just got louder and louder. We're whispering, and just like now it's just like full blown conversation.
Okay, just holding my temples.
I will give each of you a beat if all of that shit you just said was in character, and you were loudly talking about how first she was dead, and now then she was your wife.
Oh, that was all in character. Okay. All of that, absolutely.
Then you each get a beat for.
I'll take it.
As a result of everyone in the library looking at you like you're crazy people.
At what cost?
Are people looking at us, Alan?
Yeah, now. Yeah.
Charlie waves.
Hi.
Also, hey, kids, everyone.
Luke.
Frank just pulls his hat down further over his eyes. Hi. Oh, you want me to roll?
I was going to let you roll to see if anyone recognized me. High or low?
Oh, shit.
Hi.
Okay, then it would have to be very low, but we'll see. Okay, no one recognizes you.
That you know of.
All right. And oblivious to all that, whatever the hell that was, Jake, you go straight up to Kelly and say hi, and she's happy to see you. And gives you a hug and looks over your shoulder. Oh, and waves at Charlie, says, hey, Mr. Connor.
Charlie waves. Wave and smile, kids. Wave and smile.
And do like a sheepish, just like,
They're family from out of town.
Okay. Well, I hope you enjoy Knoxville, Music City, and all that.
Hopefully, they're not here for long.
Agreed.
Okay, you're in the library at 9 o'clock on a Thursday night. So if he leans in closer, do you have something weird you need to research?
Yeah, and I pull out the journals that I've just recently acquired.
Okay, so let's see, werewolf lore from around the world. Ooh, can I make a copy of this?
As long as you keep it, you know, just between you and me.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Particularly the one that I need help with is, flip a couple pages. This one right here, Kaftar. I need some more information.
Is that anything to do with hyenas?
Yep.
Hmm. Well, come on back. And she takes the books with her and walks away from the periodicals desk towards the back of the library.
You guys coming?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Right.
What's wrong with you?
We'll talk about it later.
Right. She goes to the to a room in the back, and that just as it has a locked door that has a sign, or actually it has a glass window, and painted on it is Special Collection. And she pulls out a key from like a ring of keys, and after filling with it, she unlocks that door and leads you inside. And it's not as impressive as you're expecting. It's a 10 by 10 room, about 20 by 20. And there's a table in the middle with some uncomfortable looking chairs, and along one wall is a bookshelf. It's not a huge collection. Like, this isn't like, you know, some cosmic library, but it does have a lot of, you know, occult type lore. And then on the other wall, some glass cases that have stuff in them. You think mainly made of American looking stuff. And she sets the research material you gave him down, and then says, "All right, I'm going to have to lock the library up in about an hour, but you're welcome to stay here and research." And she points to those. They're all trustworthy, right?
Yeah, for the most part.
I'll vouch for them.
Quick question for you.
I have my hands in my pocket.
You hadn't ever read anything about, like, I don't know, interdimensional stuff, like weird multi-universe comic book level nonsense, have you?
She thinks for a second, and then she points toward the wall. Check out the green book on the third shelf.
Thank you, as always, Kelly.
I'll be back in a little bit after I locked everything else up.
Sounds good. All right, I'm gonna walk over and pull the green book.
It is a memoir. Give me a high or low.
High.
Oh,
it's as low as it gets.
That's fine. It's not a problem. I'll do it this way. Okay. Yeah, the book is called Sliding: My Life as an Interdimensional Traveler. And the author is, hang on, I can't remember the fucker's name.
One Oliver Connor.
No, give me just one second. The author is John Rhys Davies. And then you recall that, you know, when you were like a very small child, like 3 or 4, he was actually on the TV show Sliders, and you think it's just, you know, a thing about that book. And then you open it up, and no, it is, I mean, it may just be bullshit, but it appears to be, after, you know, flipping through it for about 15 seconds, John Rhys Davies is an actual dimensional traveler, and this is a list of his exploits. It even mentioned there is, in fact, a chapter devoted to him coming to a world where his counterpart was an actor of some note, which he found amusing.
I will hand the book to Olivia.
You'll hand it to me?
Yeah. Are you not an occult specialist?
No, weirdly enough, that's more of a Charlie thing.
Oh, I
do know a little bit about occult, but Charlie's actually pretty smart in the subject. He's got a whole blog about it back home.
Oh, all right. Well, Charlie,
not terribly surprising. You think that's interesting because your grandparents also have a blog.
Oh no.
Grandma and Grandpa have a blog about the occult here.
It's called What the Heck Is That?
Oh no.
Of course I can see Stick's face right now.
You don't.
Oh yeah, you should, man, you should catch their vlog series too.
I have so many questions.
They're pretty well respected in the occult world.
I believe that.
They met Bigfoot too.
How many followers do they have?
Charlie does a double take. I'm sorry, what? They met Bigfoot?
Olivia's on her phone following him already. She's like, oh, I gotta follow that.
Stig, how many followers did Charlie have, or what the hell is that?
I never determined that metric.
No, just give me a number then.
300. 300 crazy people on his Twitter.
They have about 20,000.
God damn it.
20,001 as Olivia clicks. Hello.
they had that. They're kind of in semi-retirement now. Now that they moved to Florida, everything is a cryptid in Florida, so it's hardly worth following. Okay, so y'all are in a room in the secret occult room of the local library.
All right, Charlie, start reading.
Oh boy, I do know Latin.
Does he read like super quick, Frank? Or
do I read super quick?
No, but
I do not.
He is pretty smart, so.
Am I? I admire that. Yeah, I've got, you know, Latin, Arabic, and Spanish now. So, I will start perusing books for anything of note. What do you want? Occult plus what? Intelligence?
Yes. Intelligence plus occult. Is that an asset skill for you?
Oh, yeah.
So you get 9 again. And while you're in here, I'll give you plus 3.
Okay.
Ooh, very nice.
3 successes.
You may ask me 3 questions pertaining to your research.
Okay, what are we looking for exactly?
How tall is John Rhys Davies?
We're looking on anything for the Kaftar and the spider curse thing.
And how to get home.
Oh, yeah. And how to get home.
All right. I am home. Oh, boy. So, let me figure out how to phrase this.
Phrase it like it's a monkey's paw.
Where is the closest recorded dimensional portal? Alan?
I'm trying to imagine how that would be in the tiny library in Knoxville, Tennessee.
In a book by someone who considers himself a slider?
That's what I'm thinking.
That's a fair point. Yeah, you spent some time looking through John Rhys Davies' book. And interestingly, if you ask around in this world, no one has ever heard of John Rhys Davies, the actor. Gimli was actually played by George Wendt from Cheers.
nice.
All right. There's not a whole lot useful in the book itself. There's in fact a postscript handwritten on the last page, and it's addressed to Kelly. Thank you so much for all your help. I do not know if I will be able to find these mirrors, which the Akhenaten texts speak of, but if they are up in the mountains near here, I shall find them and perhaps find my way home. Okay. Just as soon as I can only hope I can do so before the stars align properly.
That's new. Okay, there's that. Next question. How do we kill a Kaftar?
They have all of the conventional weaknesses of a werewolf. They take aggravated damage from silver, the same. But otherwise they heal incredibly fast. You know, if you kill a werewolf and then keep killing him long enough, it will take.
Yeah. Yeah. Spider person question.
Kill it with fire. Done.
Oh, was that a question? I just said spider person.
No. I want to know what happens to Well, not what happens to. We know what happens to. I want to know
what love is.
No, how the spider creatures spread. I'm trying to figure out how to word this, or where they came from. Either one
you
of those.
You find in one of the books, you find, actually one of the werewolf texts, you find a reference to a chaos disease called Aslu fever.
Oh boy, and that is how the spider people spread. You get a fever.
Well, with the number of successes you got, yes.
Okay, all right. So what I'm able to determine, I will tell our group that I believe the mirrors may be in a cave in the mountains near here. And I will tell Jake, as far as the disease spreading with the spiders, I believe it spread by the Kaftar, and they are the one responsible for creating the spider people through one of their wild sickness plagues of madness.
Oh, lovely.
Yep. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Can I look in the books to see? I'm interested in something real quick. Let me know what I need to roll, but I want to see if I can find anything about how the guy who killed my dad was able to psychically communicate with me.
Did he psychically communicate with him?
He did. When I was in the middle of being cured of the disease, he said, don't give in to it. It's beautiful. Don't.
Oh, that. All right. First of all, roll your intelligence plus occult. Tell me what you get.
Okay. Three successes. Okay.
The phrase Aslu fever rings a bell, and you pull out the stuff you took from George Bryant and start flipping through it, and you find it. You were looking for spider demons before, and that's why you didn't find this, but you previously missed a reference to the Aslu, who are in fact were-spiders, except they function very differently than werewolves. They only exist in the world because the primordial spider deity cut a deal with the hyena, and allowed him to fashion a chaos disease that can be used to infect mortals and cause them to become were-spiders. In much the same way that a werewolf's bite can trigger lycanthropy. The were-spider will have all of the memories and knowledge of the original host, but will generally have a spider's attitude towards life, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
And under the nature of their agreement, any Aslu that is created through a chaos disease by one of the Kaftar is bound to serve that Kaftar for a year and a day. So sometimes Kaftar use them as minions and shock troops until they're able to free themselves and then go fulfill whatever objectives the Mother of Webs has for them. Like, it did the same thing with were-rats, but you haven't seen any sign of them yet.
Great.
Alan, how many pages is that green book, roughly, do we think?
The John Reese Davies one?
Yes.
It's embellished a bit because he actually took the time to have it published.
Right.
But it's a couple hundred pages.
Olivia, you've got a phone. You want to start taking pictures of this thing? Because this might be a good thing to have. Unless there's a photocopier.
Uncle Frank,
in the room.
She's got a photocopier that's for copying books.
That'll work.
Can you afford the cost of having stuff photocopied at a library?
I'm just going to take pictures so that we don't have to carry around paper.
I mean, you could just have her send you a digital email of the copied pages.
Either way, I kind of think we ought to have a copy of this thing.
Yeah.
Olivia just wants to use her phone, which she is inordinately proud of.
I am.
She should be.
I worked very hard to get this phone back. I'm going to use it, damn it.
Is there something special about the phone?
Stays charged.
Some kind of magic, I don't know, future phone or something, or past phone, or I don't know.
Shout out to my homies in 1920s alternate steampunk New York. Anyway, I'm taking
pictures. I'm not gonna lie, you guys confuse the shit out of me.
We had to raid a mine to get the phone back. It was a whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I had to kind of fight a mummy, not really.
My life has gotten so much more complicated since you came to visit.
That's a pretty good question. Is that mummy still around in this world?
Oh shit!
What mummy?
You want to spend another hour researching legends of Amunet in this world?
I will spend an hour researching Amunet.
We do have another hour.
That bitch.
Okay. I'll let you have an hour and then come back to you.
I will. Do I need to make the same roll?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead and make that roll.
I will spend a willpower this time.
I would have attempted to help research it anyway instead of just standing around,
Eight successes.
Oh, fucking
all over. There's books everywhere.
Where does she live?
She's actually in the library right now herself.
What are you researching specifically, Sid?
I am researching if Amunet is cross-planar and is in this reality as well. Or do we know that already? Did we actually?
Find in one of the glass cases, there is a book. Well, it's actually a papyrus scroll, but next to it is
Amunet's diary.
Well, not quite, but there is a spiral notebook, which has somebody's translation of it. It is called The Record of Amunet, which is what John Rhys Davies referred to, and it's what told him about. And you were a little bit closer. You think what he was actually referring to up in the mountains was the mirror room?
Okay. Uh-huh. I'm going to take that.
Going to steal from the library? Are you? Are you going to steal from this woman's library?
Is the case unlocked?
Yeah, it's unlocked. You can reach in and take it. Is it your intention to take it from the library is my question.
I will go make photocopies of every page. And then I will take it from the library.
God damn it.
Okay.
And leave the photocopies in the case.
No, I'm taking both.
No. Take the case.
Yeah, I'm the whole case in my pocket.
You're going to make two copies, one regular and the other front and back.
Yep.
And then take them all with you.
Yep.
All right. So I'll let you. All right. So, okay. You got eight fucking successes. All right. Eight questions about. Well, I gave you the. I tell you what, I gave you the notebook, which you'll be able to research again more fully later as you need to. So we'll count that as three successes. You have five questions you may ask right now about Amunet and the cult thereof and, the rogues gallery of minions who serve her and whatnot.
Is the cult still active in this day and age? Okay.
To the extent that, millennia-old cults. It's not like they're in the phone book, but yes. In fact, there's you cross-reference that with the Sliders book, and there's an index. And apparently, John Rhys Davies has fought the cult of Amunet in several worlds.
Okay.
We need to meet this dude.
Is there a list of her lieutenants and what they are?
It is a cult of both mortals and monsters that have served her throughout the millennia. She dates back to pre-dynastic Egypt. This is also, when you start about this, this is also of interest to Oliver, because when she was at the height of her power and ruling openly, she was the first ruler of Egypt before it became a pharaohic dynasty, and then the nation broke into a four-way civil war between Amunet, the werewolf Anubis, the werewolf Sutekh, and the vampire Osiris, who is the founder of Clan Amenti.
Okay.
And so that civil war lasted for several centuries as they sort of took turns ruling the nation of Egypt once it became Egypt. She was not a vampire nor a werewolf. And they would not have described her as a mummy. They just called her Amunet the Deathless. And she is referred to in some text as she who came from before.
Okay.
There is some speculation that she was a mage, but if so, she was fantastically powerful, even by the standards of being a mage. And she remains the sort of person who she is literally considered to be deathless, in that there is some speculation that it is literally impossible to permanently kill her by any means.
Okay.
But she can be reduced to a
slurry? State.
Well, even that would kill her for good. But she can be forced into dormancy until someone in her cult or someone who falls under the sway of one of her accursed artifacts or goes into the wrong tomb revives her spirit, and then she could be restored to the world.
I was hoping we'd
just be watching the wrong movie.
The last recorded Amunet cult of any that there's any record of dates. Here's an interesting detail. The last recorded incident of her was in El Diablo, New Mexico territory, sometime around 1880.
Of course it was.
Which a very powerful vampire was trying to do stuff, and no one knows exactly what it was trying to do, but it resulted in a lycanthropic plague and the total collapse of a silver mine, resulting in the death of several hundred miners, and a lot of weird shit that was powerful enough to get something called the Ministry of Continuity involved, and also the Camarilla, and they cleaned it up, and that's the last anyone heard of that.
Continue. My third question.
Okay, go ahead.
Does she have any enemies?
The three ones I mentioned. One of them is Oliver, whether he likes it or not, because his tribe is the chosen of Anubis.
I guess it's like modern enemies.
On her level, you mean?
Like current age. Like, are there any counter cults? Is there what's this ministry organization like?
As I was saying, the entirety of Clan Amenti, they are not all of them, obviously, but the old elder Amenti are aware of her existence and consider it an obligation of the clan to destroy her, if possible, or at least keep her from arising again. Likewise, the Bone Shadow Werewolf tribe. Anthony, you probably haven't even met any real elders of your tribe, but if you did, they would probably tell you. You would have probably learned all this already, and at some point, maybe if you wanted to advance within the tribe and gain tribal status, you might be expected to swear an oath to fight against Amenti and her followers, wherever they might be.
Okay.
The third enemy is kind of interesting, because that was Sutek, also known as Typhon. This was actually, if you're understanding these records, well, let me back up for a second. The werewolves in the room, how much do you know about the legend that is at the very beginning of the werewolf rules called that I called the werewolf mythos?
I mean, you said I was fairly well versed in it, so.
Yeah,
I think Charlie and I had a disagreement at one point on declaring if Anubis or was it Sutek that were in the right or something like that.
I mean, Charlie knows enough to get by. As an orphan, he thinks all of the werewolf drama is bullshit that's not directly related to him. So,
okay. If you are reading this correctly, the age during which the great civil war to overthrow Amunet took place was either before or shortly after the civil war amongst the werewolf tribes that led to Sutek and his children being cast out as exiles. Right. There were three tribes whose founders actively try to kill Grandfather Wolf to usurp him. Alpha Wolf, who became a Sutekh because as part of his punishment, he was condemned to only have a human form and to have no name of his own. Destroyer Wolf, who basically became Fenris, for lack of a better word. He's not related to the Fenris vampire group, but he is completely insane and desires the destruction of the human race. And
like you do.
Yeah. And I forgot what his original name was, but the rabid wolf who eventually became Hyena, he was cursed to become something that was not truly a wolf. And he and all of his descendants became the first were-hyenas.
Okay.
But all three of those exiles in different ways became what are called, they became the exile tribes, and they there are references to all three of them turning to chaos and the great beyond, which Amunet also either served. Either she served the chaos in the great beyond, or she was a manifestation of chaos in the great beyond. The text you're reading are ambivalent, ambiguous on that.
Okay, so these are her semi-allies, or at least in the same goals, flavor. If not, yeah, same flavor. Have we heard of the Ministry of Continuity before? I don't think we have.
Roll your intelligence plus occult minus five.
No, minus five.
Just five.
Jesus.
Damn.
In this setting, the actual mage groups are very reclusive.
Still got a success.
Nice.
All right, you know what the Camarilla is? The Camarilla is an alliance. It's led by vampires, but it also includes werewolves, sorcerers, and other assorted weirdos, and their job is to make sure that the humans don't figure out that monsters exist. But you have heard whispers of a secret conspiracy above the Camarilla, which is mage exclusive. It is called the Ministry of Continuity, and their job is to make sure that reality doesn't collapse.
Okay. So, question that... Wait, reality doesn't... Okay. Sure.
Clearly, we should not bump into any of those people because we are fucked if that happens.
Maybe we should. Maybe they can send us home.
Well, I'm sure they can send you to a home.
Yep. Yeah. Is there anything in here on anything she is vulnerable to or ways to contain her?
Direct physical attacks by Sutekh. And Anubis working together was enough to temporarily incapacitate her. And then Osiris himself, with the assistance of his wife Isis, who was apparently a mage, they use powerful elder-level magic to bind her into a sarcophagus.
Ray, if someone asks if you're a god, you say yes. Let's see. Okay, well, that's terrifying. Okay.
And I'll let you think about that because I left poor Bo along all this time.
Okay. Oh God, he's sitting over in the other channel.
Yeah, I got one.
No, literally alone. Just
I still got one question. I'll think about
Bo,
it.
Bo, so you pop some Benadryl and go to sleep, and something wakes you up in the middle of the night. And
of course it does.
And you open your eyes, and surprisingly, despite the Benadryl, you feel wide awake, and you sit up. What were you wearing to bed?
Bo
sleeps naked.
No. He wears a pajama pants.
Okay. That's what you're wearing when you wake up in the forest.
In the what?
You are in a forest. You think it's the same forest you were in up in the Smoky Mountains, except there are webs everywhere.
Okay. I lay back down and slap the shit out of myself.
And you hear a voice say, ow, that looked like it hurt.
Oh, I've closed my eyes like I'm trying to stay out of a night, like I'm trying to hide from like the boogeyman or something. Are there like blankets, or is it just I'm just in the forest?
You're just in the forest. It's okay, Ben. I promise you, you're safe. I just want to talk.
Okay. And Ben slowly sits up and looks over to whoever's talking.
Okay. On the other side of a clearing, about 15 feet away, sitting on a tree, on a fallen tree, as if waiting patiently for you to awaken, is your dad wearing what he was wearing the last time you saw him? Before he got ripped to pieces.
Yeah. Is it really you, or is this...
Well, you are dreaming, but, well, I thought it was best if we talked, and apparently have the ability to do this, communicate with you in dreams. It's very interesting. Unexpected.
Okay, but who are you?
He sighs loudly. That's a complicated question, Ben. I'm trying to figure that out for myself. I'm in an unusual situation right now. I am Charlie Connor, but Charlie Connor he became something different. And I know everything that he knew.
Fuck.
But I am more than he was.
Oh, no.
But I want you to know that I still feel, well, for some definitions of feel, I'm working that out too. I still feel a connection to you, and I know that he cared about you a great deal. And perhaps that's why I'm able to communicate with you through a dream.
Cool, cool, cool. I don't want to like interrupt whatever's really like going on here, but like, what is going on? Like, you're trying to communicate with him. What do you have something to say? Or
yes, I'm reaching out to you because I need your help, yours and your brother and your new friends.
Okay, what kind of help?
Well, I think it might be mutual help. I need you to kill Sabado.
Sabado. That is,
yes. That's what he calls himself. That is the name of the Kaftar who, well, you know what he did.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's definitely on the list. Right at the top of it. Do have to say, I'm a little concerned about you as well. Like, obviously, the enemy of me of my enemy is my friend, but...
The means by which I came to this plane of reality and joined with your father has a cost. I am bound to obey Sabado for a year and a day. But through a very fortunate chain of events, he doesn't know that I survived. The other Charlie from the dimensional intruder attacked me before I was fully cognizant. And also, you notice this guy, your dad was smart and well-spoken, but this guy is more so. And so you don't see this guy necessarily as your father. I wasn't fully cognizant of my situation, and he attacked me while I was vulnerable and, well, ripped me to shreds. And I'm sorry for that. I'm sure it was very traumatic for you. But he was unable to, well, let's just say that my kind are just as resilient as his kind, albeit in a different way. I survive, but I'm between bodies at the moment, I guess you could say.
Okay, so let me ask this. So, Sabado, obviously, he's target number one. But what would you do if you were free to not do what he had to say to do? You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to kill him and then you just, you know, go on a murder spree.
I have no intention of going on a murder spree. I assure you, or at least to the extent that I kill anyone, it will be unintentional and for the same reasons as, say, a vampire. You don't have anything against vampires, do you? I mean,
no.
Well, there we are. As a were spider, a crude word, Azalu. Officially, we are known as the Azalu, but you might call us were spiders if it's easier. Like real spiders, we, you know, need blood. But like vampires, we are perfectly capable of, you know, pursuing it in a civilized manner and minimizing killing. And if freed from Sabido, you may assure Mr. Rookwood that I would be a perfectly reasonable and civic-minded member of the monster community. And he smiles at you.
Yeah. I don't believe him, right? Like, there's nothing about...
I mean, you are completely justified in being suspicious. Okay. But he's not doing anything that immediately trips this guy's line to me. It's more like, to be honest, I mean, there is something almost alien about him. And it's also disturbing because he looks, at the moment, like he doesn't have any pincers or black eyes or anything. He looks exactly like your dad. And he seems to know everything that your dad knew. And he claims to have some degree of fondness for you because you were Charlie's adopted son. But yeah, just the way he talks, he's very detached about everything. You wish to know what I'll be honest completely. I don't know what I will do when I'm free. I wish to exist and survive. That will mean forging some type of peace with the vampires of Knoxville or perhaps the monsters of some other town if Knoxville is not tolerant of my kind. Hopefully Mr. Rookwood is more open-minded than that. It is possible that I will one day hear the voice of the Mother of Webs calling to me with some task, and I will be bound to obey, but the Mother of Webs has no interest in harming this world as a whole or its inhabitants. She wishes what all spirits wish, to be recognized by the minds and imagination of mortals. It is no different than what Grandfather Wolf does with his seemingly infinite offspring.
Okay. So you want this. I want Sabado dead. How do we do it?
I'm not certain yet. I'm still assimilating my own memories. He has the ability to transmit Azulu fever, which is a mechanism for bringing more were-spiders into this world. But it normally takes much longer. He was able to greatly accelerate the process because the area in which all of this took place is what... are you familiar with the term locus?
Locus, yeah.
Well, that clearing and the nearby area was a locus. The boundary between the world, the physical world, and the spirit world was quite thin, and it was an auspicious night, a time when the werewolves who lived there were performing rituals that thinned the gauntlet even more. And so he was able to target and affect the leader of the tribe, and he in turn passed it on to the rest of his tribe, the rest of his people, who were transformed almost immediately.
Is there anything left of him in there?
As I said, I have all of your father's memories. I don't have much of a context for them yet. And I will be honest, I do not know if I ever will. Spiders aren't friendly, but I'm certainly willing to explore that aspect of myself. I am, or at least soon will be, part spider, part human.
Yuck.
Ew. Good talk. I guess you know how to get in touch with me. How can I get in touch with you?
Hopefully by the next time we communicate through dreams, I will have acquired a more viable body. Then I will let you know how we can communicate more directly. Probably not in person, at least for a while, until we come to trust each other more.
Yeah, I wouldn't suggest the in person right now. I'm a little jumpy.
Quite understandable. And I imagine your brother more so.
Probably.
Do you plan to tell him about our conversation?
Oh, God. I don't know. I know that I should. Oh.
I will leave it to your discretion. He is a werewolf. And while I have a lifetime of memories of him as my son, I also have millennia of race memories of the conflict between werewolves and were-spiders. It's all Grandfather Wolf's fault. I don't blame him for it.
Grandfather Wolf, Mommy Spider. You know what? It's nice to know that I am not the only one with, shit parent problems in this universe.
Well, agreed. And I think Grandfather Wolf is probably the shittiest.
It's a stacked list right now, I'll tell you.
Well, consider. And he actually raises his hand like to point and say, consider, if he'd been a better parent, perhaps one of his children would not have become a hyena and started all this.
That's true. That's fair. Okay. Great talk. I really got to get some sleep. How do I hang up?
Would you allow me to do one favor for you as a gesture of goodwill?
Ooh. What's the? It depends on the favor.
He stands up from the log and he has his hands out, like non-threateningly, like he's trying not to frighten you. And he very slowly walks over to you, and unless you do anything to stop him, he will, as non-threateningly as possible, put his hands on your shoulders.
Yeah, I'll probably flinch a little, but I won't move.
And then he just closes his eyes in concentration, and you feel this sudden rush of energy, and you jerk up in your bed, wide awake, full of essence.
Holy shit! Was there not a gentler way to do that? Oh, God. Oh, God. Okay.
And you don't feel drowsy at all, and in fact feel slightly hyperactive.
Okay. Wow.
Very hungry, though.
Oh, God. I gotta go smash something. Oh, God.
And you go downstairs to the kitchen, you find a couple of cops. Let's see. High or low?
Low.
You don't know them. In fact, you have no idea what they're doing there. But yeah, there are two uniformed officers sitting on the couch in your living room watching SportsCenter.
One of them's really attractive, if that helps.
It does, actually. Hi. I just assume you guys are...
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm sorry. Did we have the TV up too loud? I know you were trying to sleep.
No, I feel great. I feel great. I was just about to order some pizza. You guys want pizza?
Milk it? Sure.
Okay, Ben orders pizza.
You feel like a meat lovers.
Meat lovers, got it. Ben gets veggie.
No, you, Ben, feel like meat lovers.
Oh, I feel like meat. Ooh.
Ooh.
Okay, I get meat lovers. I get them an anchovy pizza.
Oh, no. Come on.
No, I don't. I get them a regular pizza.
Okay.
With pineapples on it.
It would have been funnier if you got him a Canadian bacon one, because it's...
Uh-huh. Yeah, pizza shows up. You order a couple of large pizzas. You're not really into... You don't really feel like you like the taste of the crust, and you pretty much end up just sort of peeling the topping off and eating it.
My God, it's like you've watched me eat pizza.
Oh, pretty much everyone eats pizza that way. all right. So you're just sitting up, it's around 11:30, watching TV with these two cops. Is there anything you want to talk to the cops about? Like, hey, what's it like being a cop or anything like that? You pick up very quickly on the fact that they are both blood slaves to Josh Rookwood. More accurately, one of Josh Rookwood's children who he has put in charge of the police.
Nice. Yeah, no, I'd probably be like, so you guys are clued in? You met the people from the other dimension?
No, they look at each other and say, well, I don't think we met anyone from another dimension, or if we were. There was one of them who looked like that, exactly like that cop who went on the killing spree.
Yeah, my dad, Frank Jones. Yeah, that's him from another dimension. And also that Charlie, not Charlie. Charlie's dead, and that's other Charlie.
I thought it looked like you needed a shave.
Yeah, and a new attitude, but we're getting there.
Okay. And about that time, the door opens up, and the rest of the Scooby gang comes in. And a dog, apparently.
Well, you did say Scooby gang, so...
Ro-ro.
It was on cue.
Olivia's gonna walk in, and...
Does like the dog get a beat?
Trying not to make eye contact with Dean, but also trying to make eye contact with Dean, because she doesn't really know what to do in this situation.
Ben introduces, he's like, hey, Olivia, have you met Dean?
Hi, Dean. How are you? You look like you.
He works out. I mean, definitely, right?
In fact, this Dean is probably a little better looking than the one you left behind because he's a cop, so he works out right away.
Oh, it's so much better than Banker Dean.
Yeah, we were talking about, you know, some workout stuff just a bit ago. He was giving me some pointers.
What's your regimen? What's your regimen? What do you do for fun? What's your life like? Well, no, that's too much. All right, I need a drink. Okay.
Down, girl. Come here. Sorry, we're sleep deprived. Nice to meet you.
Alan, I've got to hop off. I've got to make a phone call before I go to bed. But Frank will just go along to the meeting if you do that. Just like, and the face sculpting thing, whatever. You can catch me up on what happens later on.
Well, we're probably not going to do the meeting tonight because it'll be probably long. Guys want to, let's see, it's, what time is it there?
Almost 10 o'clock. It's
46. I'm going to have to get off too because I got to be up.
Okay. I just have to get off this time. But so I will see you guys the next time. Good game, everybody.
Later.
No.
Everybody else who's still here, do you want to talk about anything before we break and everyone heads for the meeting?
So, like, what does Dean do for fun? This Dean may not be abusive. Who knows? It's a problem.
No, he's just the blood slave to a vampire.
So is it a vampire? Could be worse.
He can fix him.
God.
He was also almost a blood slave in Anthony's version of this universe. So yeah. Maybe it's just the one he's meant to follow. I punched that one. That one was fun. Who knows? Right. Maybe this one. Third tries the charm?
Oh, God.
All right. Well, he will make polite small talk with you. The truth, he doesn't come out and say this, but the truth is that at the moment he only has eyes for Josh.
Great. Excellent.
So they will make their leave, and there's leftover pizza on the table, including one pizza that has had all the toppings eaten off of it. So, yeah, so there's bread on the table.
Mm, no, thanks.
Ben, anything you want to share with everyone?
Just what are you doing awake, bud?
Oh, yeah, I had another nightmare, but it kind of ended on a high note.
You had a nightmare that ended on a high note?
Yeah, well, it was with Spider Dad. He was real. He was there. He gave me all my essence back that I'd used up over the past couple days. He can talk to me in my sleep. It's real fun. I'm having a great time.
Wait, slow down. Dad's not dead?
Oh, no, Dad's dead. Spider Dad, perfectly alive.
I don't understand.
Right, so the spider took over Dad's body. There's not much of that left, apparently. But he has Dad's memories. But he doesn't, like, feel? So he's not like... The soul of Dad is gone. Or at least, not here, right? But this thing has his memories. And apparently feels a certain way about me. And wants to help kill Sabato. Sabato? The were-hyena guy.
That fucker. Okay. Wait, whoa. Is this related to Oslo Fever?
Yeah, he mentioned that. So he wants to kill Sabato because apparently he has to, like, listen to Sabato for a year and a day.
He can give you information on how to do so, so that he will be free to do spider.
The notes
stuff.
I have are: Aslaug fever is a chaos disease caused by Kaftar, and it causes were spiders, but they have to serve the Kaftar that created them for a year and a day until they can serve the Mother of Webs.
Yeah, Mother of Webs. He brought that one up too. Yeah, so he's still alive-ish, and he filled up my tank, topped me off. Well, maybe I shouldn't say it like that.
Yes.
Seems like he's trying to help. I don't trust him, though.
Okay.
You're getting on to us for not being the normal ones.
Yeah, well, this shit didn't happen until you guys showed up.
It sounded like it happened literally right before we showed up. And apparently, like, in our universe, well, at least I don't know of any knowledge of Kaftars. So apparently that was already a thing here. So I don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, second best Charlie said he'll get back in touch.
I have some concerns.
What's the concerns, not Dad?
I think your brother might be crazy and or possessed by a ghost.
By the way, everyone, roll your wits plus empathy.
Wits
except
plus
for except empathy. For Bruce.
Oh,
no successes.
Wits.
It's okay. I have no empathy.
Yeah.
Same.
Hey, I've got 2 empathy. Dope. I think it's because I listened to you guys' last campaign a little bit, and I was just like, wow, none of them have any social skills.
You're wrong. Charlie has lots of social skills. He just never uses them. He actually has empathy as a 9 again skill.
We got the same number of successes.
Okay, Charlie and Ben, you both pick up on the fact that Jim just called Charlie Dad, unironically.
Yeah. I'd probably look over at Jake.
Yeah.
Oh, Jake, no. I know we're being like super friendly with the new people. But did you just call this Charlie Dad?
Did I?
Yeah, I mean, you're probably just confused. I shouldn't have said anything, man. It's been a rough few days. It makes sense if you get confused.
Yeah, I mean, you know, family's, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. I'm just,
You also notice that he now looks noticeably shook up.
Do you need anything, man? Like, I know you've been kind of taking care of me ever since what happened to Dad, but, like, I know the answer is not... If I ask you if you're okay, the answer is obviously no. But, like, I love you, man, and I'm here for
you. Love you, too. Yeah. I'm all right. I'm all right. I think. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun!
And, in fact, he was not all right.
Probably okay.
It's one of my games. No one's all right. It'd be boring if everyone was all right.
Hi, this is Bo. Thanking you for listening to another episode of Southern Gothic Gaming. Welcome back to the adventures of the Connor fan. The first arc of the aberrant storyline has drawn to a close, and we return to a world of werewolves, vampires, and vast horrors beyond comprehension. If you want to follow along live, you can do so by becoming a member of our Patreon. On Patreon, you will get early access, character breakdowns, and more. You can even join in our Discord group to interact with us and potentially join in one-off specials. Please rate or review wherever you listen to podcasts, and, as always, episodes are released every Friday night. Your players for this session have been Alan as the storyteller, Anthony as Oliver, Bo as Ben, Brooke as Olivia, Bruce as Jake, Luke as Frank, and Stick as Charlie. The intro and outro is Wayfaring Stranger by Brian Mitchell. Thank you again, and we hope you listen in for our next session.
Hello. my honey. Hello, my darling. Hello, my ragtime gal.